in spirit and in truth. We thank you for the multiplied blessings that you have poured out upon us, your favor, your grace. We thank you for your healing, your provision. We thank you for everything Jesus has done for us on the cross, everything that he's doing for us now at the right hand of God. And Father, as we partake of your holy communion, I ask you in the name of Jesus that we receive the full benefits of your communion. Father, that your life, that the life of Christ hits us in such a way that that Zoe life of God just flows out of us. We have too much health. In Jesus' name, amen. Can I have a couple of people help me with the elements and we'll partake of his communion? Here's a fun tidbit. Every time that you partake of the Lord's communion, you proclaim the Lord's death, but you also proclaim the devil's defeat. You just kicked him right in the jaw. That's so fun. Jesus said, take this as often as you will. I'm telling you, you can take it once a month, or you can take it every day. You can take it three times a day. But whatever you do, take it in faith and do it on purpose. Discern the Lord's body. Paul said the only reason that Christians are sickly and direly is because they don't discern the body of Christ. It's so easy to discern the body of Christ. Number one, Romans chapter 8 verse 1 just crossed my heart. It said, there is therefore now no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. That's you. You're in Christ Jesus. If you're born again, you're in Christ Jesus. No condemnation to you. Amen. I know that probably each one of you have been told to go examine your heart before taking the communion. I promise you, we'll always find some dark spot. We will. But that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says to discern the body of Christ. Amen? That's how, by not discerning the body of Christ, that's how you take communion unto damnation. So when we discern the body of Christ, we look at this. This is the body of Christ. This bread is sinless. There's no yeast in this bread. There was no sin in Jesus. Amen. He's our perfect high priest. This bread has stripes in it. And it's by his stripes that we were healed. This bread has holes in it. It's been pierced. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was wounded for our iniquities. He was beaten for us. Amen. And this bread is slightly burned. The full wrath of God's fiery judgment was laid on Jesus when he got on that cross. He took all of the punishment for our sins. All of it. Now we can stand in the presence of God as the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus because of the shed blood of Jesus. When you got born again, you got clothed with the robe of righteousness. His righteousness. Not ours, his. Amen. He qualifies us. There's nothing we could do to qualify to be in God's presence. So Jesus, we're taking this for our healing, our well-being. Father, we're taking this not only to get ourselves better, but also to ward off stuff that may attack us. We take this in Jesus' name. Just out of curiosity, how many people have felt bad when they've took communion before? I got so guilt-ridden at one time that I didn't even want to take communion anymore. Because I would make a new mistake every day. when he'd come back to Sunday, I'd come back, I'd be back on my knees, and finally I just got tired of it and said, I'm never going to be able to take this successfully because I didn't know the truth. I finally learned the truth and it set me free. Everything is in Jesus. My righteousness is wrapped up in Him. My justification is wrapped up in Him. The waterfall of forgiveness from His shed blood is upon my head. That set me free to take communion. Jesus, the book of 1 John chapter 1 verse 7 says, if we walk in the light as we are in the light, the blood of Jesus continually cleanses us from all sin. Not only did your blood wash away our sins, it protects us. It seals in the New Testament promises for us. And because of your blood, we've been placed in right standing with the Father. And we can go boldly into His presence as if we'd never sinned before because of your blood. And we can receive mercy and grace in the time of need. We thank you for this. I don't know about you, but these days I'm excited about taking communion. It's like a whole new life for me. Once I found out the truth about the communion, it set me free. If you ever find yourself in a position where you're focused on your ability or your efforts or your righteousness, stop. Stop and look to the cross. It's all about Him. It's all about Him. Amen? Well, we have no kids, so you get to stay here today. They'll live. Okay. Open up your Bibles to 2 Peter chapter 1. I only need them for seeing. So... we're going to continue on with our adventure with the Holy Spirit, and we're building on that foundation of the stuff we've already learned, and just making it stronger for us. You know, we need to be completely, fully persuaded that we can do the things in the Bible that the apostles did. We need to be persuaded of that. So how do we do that? By meditating on His Word. By meditating on what God said. You know, Abraham became fully persuaded that God was able to do what He said He would do. How did he do that? By running around meditating on that. Saying it all the time. You know, God changed his name from Abram to Abraham. Abraham means father of many nations. Abraham hadn't had any kids yet. And he was old. And everybody knew it. And everybody knew his wife was old. He was a rich man. He had a lot of people working for him. These guys required pay. So they would come up to him and say, Abram, I need my gold or my silver, whatever you're going to pay me, evidently. He said, no, my neighbor, father of many nations. Can you imagine all the sheep herders going behind the rocks and that old man been too long in the sun? He says he's the father of many nations. He doesn't have any kids. But Abraham did not change his confession. Nor in the Bible do you ever see where Abraham stopped calling himself Abraham and started calling himself Abram again. Once God changed his name from Abram to Abraham, it stayed that way. The Bible tells us to hold fast your profession of faith. No matter how foolish it may seem, No matter what anybody else says, when you've got the Word of God, hold fast to that Word. That's how you stand on that Word. I don't care what anybody says. The Word of God is the truth, and it always outweighs the natural facts. Matter of fact, the Bible tells us that these natural things we see are temporal and subject to be changed with the Word of God. Amen? So, let me get over here to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, and we're going to look at our study foundation scripture, and because we need to look at it. We need to see it. We need to get it before our eyes. Verse 3 says, "According as His divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust." Out of curiosity, how many people have prayed for money, prayed for things you need, prayed for food, maybe prayed for a wife, maybe prayed for anything at all? How many have asked for these things? How about thanking Him? You're in this verse. How do you think you came about? A wife pertains unto wife and God, a wife pertains unto life and godliness. I stood on that scripture. Look here in verse 3. It says, "According as His divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness." All things. So if He's already given you these things, why not thank Him for them? You know, Jesus, this is interesting. He was having a meeting and there was 5,000 men there. They didn't count women. See, you came a long ways in 2,000 years. They didn't count women and children. But they're at this meeting and they didn't have any food. And He took this old boy's lunch and He thanked His Father for this food and it multiplied. He was at the tomb of his friend Lazarus, and he thanked his Father. He said, "Thank you, Father, for hearing me. I thank you that you always hear me." And then he said, "Lazarus, come forth. Thank your way into abundance. Thank your way into health. And thank your way into success. Thank you, Father, for the things you need." Because you're calling things that aren't as though they are. Amen? You're just thanking Him. It's nothing wild or exotic. Jesus thanked His Father for what He needed. And He got it. Okay. Let's focus back here on verse 3. It says, "According to His divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that has called us to glory and virtue." See, it's only through the knowledge. Jesus said, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me." Every time you learn of Jesus, you get more knowledge of Him and more of this stuff happens in your life. See, there's people running around that don't know that healing is still available for them in the Bible. They don't know that they can still be healed. Some of them run around and they say, "It's God's will for me to be sick." And they don't understand the fallacy. They want to be in God's will. And they think it's His will for them to be sick. But then they go to the doctor to get better. Now, see how that just doesn't balance out? If you really believe it's God's will for you to be sick, then you'll just lay there and take it. But it's not. Jesus said, ran into, there was a leper that came up to him and said, if you will, you can make me whole. And Jesus said, I will. He just showed his will right there. He wanted people to be healed. Excuse me. He wanted people to be whole. That is a pretty flower you got. That's a pretty hairpiece. Are you going to children's church? She made cupcakes with little chocolate shavings on them. They're wonderful. Okay, you go there and go to children's church. I'm like a cat when it comes to that kid. It's like a cat seeing something shiny. When I see that kid coming, she gets my attention. But anyway, the more you learn of Jesus, the more this stuff that's going to come true in your life. See, you didn't know. A lot of people don't know they could be born again until somebody tells them. And they learn of it, and then they accept it, they receive it. Everything else in the Bible is going to be the same way. When you learn of it and become persuaded that it's yours, you'll receive it. Think your way into these things. He wants you to be a partaker of his divine nature. It's hard for people sometimes to accept this. But you've got to understand, you've been created in his image. And you're Christians. I mean, you're little anointed ones. That's what Christ means, the anointed one. You're a little anointed one. And we've been called to be followers of him. I mean, to do that or to pick up in his shoes and go out there and do the things he did. He wants to share his divine nature with you. Have you ever, and I know every single person on the face of this earth craves that. Every single one of them. Have you ever wondered how come these cult movements and stuff like that grow in popularity and black magic and all this stuff? Every single person on the face of this earth is a spirit. You're in a body and you're attached to a soul. But at some point in time, your spirit was in contact with the divine miracle working God. Amen. And then he ended up on this earth, and through the course of time and circumstances and whatever else happened to you, whatever choices you made, either for Jesus or against Jesus, at some point in time, your spirit gave you an inclination to see something supernatural. Fortunately for some of us, we had a preacher in front of us that got us born again. Sometimes people don't. Sometimes they end up somebody operating black magic or the cult. And whether you want to believe it or not, the devil can still tinkle with your supernatural. And when people feel something, see something, hear something that moves them, they're drawn to it. That's why it's so important for the church to get out in the community and get active. See, the lost people, they don't have the witness of the Holy Spirit on the inside of them to guide them. So they deal with their five natural senses. They need to see something, hear something, touch something, smell something, taste something. Now the devil's going to do all kinds of things out there to get their attention. And the church likes to sit in the church building and wonder why somebody doesn't go do something. All the while, Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. You see how silly that is? So when the church gets out there and does something, somebody's going to see it. Somebody's going to see it. And they're going to start asking questions. And then that gives you an opportunity to get them born again. Amen? It's cool when that happens. The only thing is, you're not going to be able to be an undercover Christian to do it. You just go out there and do it. Everybody has a ministry. You could go to shut-ins and serve communion to them. You could go wherever they are. You could be one of those who has the gift of mercy and like to pray for people and go find people that are sick and pray for them. And some of them might be a little coarser, like me. And I don't care. I'll just tell somebody about Jesus in a food line. I'll tell somebody. I was walking down the smorgasbord, filling my plate, talking onto the phone, and I got a lady born again over the phone. You can preach the gospel everywhere you are, and people can get born again because the Holy Spirit's there. Amen? He wants His divine nature to be seen on you. Now, go over to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 5. We're covering some of this stuff over, but it's so important. Verse 5 says, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory in the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen you love, in whom though you now see him not, yet believing, you receive with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. See, I'm not saying that everything out there in the mission field is just going to be easy all the time. You know, there's people, I've had people try to convince me that they're going to love hell. You know, I have had people tell me I am not going to have anything to do with your God. I say, you will at some point, because the Bible says that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God. You just won't do it this side of eternity. You know, there's always going to be those people that say, you self-righteous hypocrite. I seen you cuss the other day and then you went to church the next day. Don't waste your time arguing with people. Go on to the next one. Find the next one. Go on to the next one. Your job is to sow the word. Your job is not to get them born again. Your job is to sow the word. And if they want to receive Jesus on that day, then get them born again. But your job is to sow the word. That's your job, is to run around sowing seeds of encouragement. I don't know how many people sowed seeds of encouragement my way before somebody actually got me born again, but thank God they did. Amen? Okay, go to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. But we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. See, we're changing all the time in our, as we fellowship with God, and we keep looking into His Word more and more. We find more and more of our identity in the Word. And what we need to understand is that you've been created in the God class. Did you know that? The Bible says you're a little God. The Bible says that, not me. That's not some wild-eyed cowboy preacher. You're a little God. How do I say that? Because you've been stamped in the image of God. What do you think Jesus looks like? He looks like a people. He's got a flesh and bone body right now. We look like Him. A lot of religious people really get spinning out on this part. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. We're together one day. And they said, let us make man in our image. That's us. He made Adam. And then He borrowed one of our ribs and made us a dishwasher. No. He made us a wife. Whoa, man. Adam woke up and said, whoa! Whoa, man. Look. We're created in His image. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. We don't see it with open face, beholding is in a glass. It's hard for us to see sometimes. But the more you look into the Word, the more clear it gets. You'll start seeing yourself the way God sees you. You know, we keep looking at the natural. We keep looking in the mirror and say, man, I fall short here and there. And I don't do this right and I don't do this right. I don't pray enough. I don't read enough. Look into the Bible and find out what God says about you. Amen? Pretty soon, it won't matter what somebody else says about you. You'll be so focused on what God says about you, none of that stuff is even going to matter. Now let's go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. First Corinthians chapter 13, verse 12 says, for now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now in part. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. Someday we will look Jesus in the face and we'll see it clearly. Right now we're learning, and it's okay. He's okay with that. He's okay with that. Sometimes people get mad because they don't seem to learn fast enough. Don't. Just keep learning. That's the thing. Keep learning of Jesus. Keep getting more and more revelation of who He is. Now go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. If you ever wonder why I use so many scriptures, it's because I don't have much to say. But the Bible does. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3 says, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. So, there it talks about there's another God in this world. You know, the Satan, he had control of this world, after he stole that blessing from Adam, when he got Adam to sin, and then Adam turned everything over to him. He was the little god of this world. He's still running around. You wonder why sometimes people can't understand the truth? Why sometimes you'll tell people something and it seems like it bounces right off their forehead? The little god of this world has blinded them. We don't deal with the natural all the time. Sometimes there's spiritual stuff. I got a really, really cool firsthand look at this one time. I asked this guy one time I was working with, I said, why don't you get born again? He said, I tried. I said, what do you mean you tried? He said, I'll start saying those words and my tongue will just lock up and stop and I can't say another word. I said, you want to get born again? He said, yeah. I said, well, will you give me permission to get rid of that demon in your life? And he looked at me kind of funny. And he said, yeah. So I cast that demon out, and he got born again right there on the spot. And then he got the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So he's in the room laughing and crying, and my boss comes back to work, and he heard all that laughing, and he goes back there, and he said, and he looked at me and said, oh, okay. And he just went back to work. He already knew what happened. Well, that guy was locked up. He couldn't do nothing. There was a spiritual thing that had to be dealt with. Amen? But he got born again right there. Now, let's go here to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 29. This is, in my mind, Romans chapter 8 is one of the most important chapters. If you ever want to read something over and over and over and over and over again, read Romans chapter 8. Read Romans chapter 8 a lot. Read it over and over and over again. We studied it. It took us a long time to get through that chapter. But it's worth reading that. It's worth looking at that and spending a lot of time in there. Verse 29 says, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son. That's us. He knew. He had us picked a long time. And he wants us to be conformed to the image of his son. Is that going to happen overnight? No, but it's okay. It does happen. The more we learn of Jesus, the further we get. That he might be the firstborn among many brethren. When Jesus got raised back to life, he was the first born again man ever. And he's the first among many brethren. So God's seed that he planted on this earth, you know, when you plant a seed, it has to die, it has to go dormant. It goes into earth and it goes dormant for a while. And then it springs forth. Jesus was planted in that ground and was dormant for a while, and then he came back to life. And now his fruit is seen all over. His branches have just went all over the place. He's the vine. We are the branches. Our lives are hid in him. Our lives are attached to him. That's how we abide in the vine. Get in his word and stay attached to him. More Jesus comes into you. Verse 29 says, we can be conformed into his image. He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. Who he called, he also justified. This is a biggie. Justification is a biggie. You cannot be justified until you've been judged. See, a lot of times people just don't think they quite qualify to be out there ministering to other people. They said, you don't know what I did last week. You know what? Jesus did. He paid for it on the cross. He washed it away. And he wants you to walk in the revelation that you are the justified. You're justified freely by his grace. When God raised Jesus back to life, you got justified. He judged your sins on that cross. All of them. Past, present, and future. How can I say your future sins were justified, were judged on that cross? Well, unless you were standing at that cross when Jesus got on there, every single sin you ever committed was a future sin. Every one of them. That had me bound up for a long time. I thought when I got born again that my past got washed away. And that was true. Then I thought, well, I'm responsible somehow for my present, my future. Now, how am I going to survive this? I'll make a new mistake every time I turn around. And then pretty soon I was spending so much time on my knees trying to keep my life right. And then I was freaked out. I was weird. And I was walking in fear. So I think, what am I going to do? I can't live like this. I told God, I said, I can't do this. I was right. I was right. What was I doing? Well, I was trying to do what everybody told me to do. They did it out of a right heart. They were trying as hard as they could. They were going through the same thing. If they were honest, they'd say, I can't do this. When what we're supposed to do is look to Jesus, who did do this, and look to his, believe on him, believe on his mercy, believe on his blood, and believe everything he did for us, and then understand that 1 John 1:7 tells us that if you walk in the light as we are in the light, then the shed blood of Jesus continually cleanses you from all sin. Then you have a righteousness consciousness and not a sin consciousness. Righteousness means right standing with God. You're in right standing. Did I just give you a license to sin? No. And I'm not talking about sloppy grace either. I'm talking about the grace that says when you make a mistake, Jesus has you covered. And he said, go and sin no more. You know, like the woman who got caught in adultery and they threw her down at the feet of Jesus. And they ended up walking away and he said, where are those that condemn you? He said, none condemn me. Neither do I. I don't condemn you. Go sin no more. When you receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness, you'll rule and reign over sin. Amen? That's how we win over sin, by receiving his grace. Now go to Ephesians chapter 1. Just out of curiosity, has anybody felt 1 ounce of condemnation out of any of this? No. Why? Because you're getting the word. We're getting freedom in Christ. Jesus said you would know the truth and the truth would make you free. Now, how many have picked up some freedom out of this? I get a lot of freedom out of this. You know, Jesus really does set us free. He sets us free to live by grace so that we can go out and do the things he did. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 5 says, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. We got a whole new family when we got born again. We got a whole new father. Don't try to identify our heavenly father the way you identify your earthly father. Not the same thing. You may have had a wonderful one, or you may have had a rat fink. But it don't matter. He's not your daddy no more. Jehovah Jireh is. Amen. And your big brother is Jesus, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Amen. Now go to verse 11. It says, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated unto according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. See, it's his will for us to get born again. It's his will for us to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's his will for us to go out there and tell other people about Jesus. It's his will for us to lay hands on the sick and watch them get better. Jesus said, if you ask anything in my name, that will I do. See, that way we don't have to be a hot rod. We just go do the asking and Jesus does the doing. Amen? It is cool. When you live by grace and you receive the abundance of grace, watch all these blessings of God fall down on your head, come from behind you and overtake you. It's really, really fun. Amen. Go to John chapter 17, verse 22. John chapter 17, verse 22 says, and the glory. You hear that word? The glory. Which you gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. That's Jesus talking right there. Matter of fact, this whole chapter right there, chapter 17, is Jesus praying for y'all. That's Jesus, the greatest faith preacher that ever prayed. Praying for you. And he was sitting there saying right there, he said, that the glory which he gave, which God gave him, and he gave you. God wants his glory to be seen on you. Not his praise. He doesn't want you to be sharing in his praise. Sometimes people get a little irritated with me. They'll come up and say, thank you for praying for me. I'll say, praise God. They say, well, thank you. But I say, well, praise God. They say, yeah, but I'm thanking you. I say, well, thank him. All I did was pray. He did the doing. See, that's how we keep ourselves out of trouble. Always praise God. Give the praise to God. We give glory to God. He wants his glory to be seen on you. See, there's too many people that are afraid of that glory work. When God wants his glory to be seen on you, he wants his glory to be seen on you for a reason. Other people say, what is up with that guy? He should be a miserable mess and he's happy. He's got all these challenges and he's happy. That's the glory of God on you. Now go to Genesis chapter 1. You ever want to know how things are supposed to be? Go to the beginning. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. You want to know who you look like? You look like God. That's what you look like. He said, let us make man in our image. after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. We'll get into this some other time, but I can see where we're supposed to be. In a garden. I believe we get control of our tongue and get in agreement and do it on purpose, we have more green grass and rain in this place than they've ever seen. We could grow things they've never thought about growing here. Really. There's a little town in Central America somewhere, this little town, they couldn't grow much briars and thorns and rocks. And there were bars all over the place down there, and these evangelists went down there and had a revival, and they started getting people born again, and these guys really started getting into this thing. And they came into agreement that Jesus was Lord over their town. So they went out there. Everywhere the road came into that town, they put a sign up that said, Jesus is Lord over this town. What happened? Bars started closing. Churches were popping up all over the place, and the bars were closing. Instead of growing briars, thorns, and rocks, they started growing produce. And the account of this was there was trucks, multiple trucks leaving this town. Every day, hauling produce. They said the cabbages you couldn't even put into a 5-gallon bucket. Why? They came into agreement that Jesus was the Lord, and they started saying things that weren't as though they were, and they changed their natural surroundings. They tampered with the weather pattern. I suppose we got it raining, got the blessing of rain on there, started producing stuff. We do that here. Jesus did it, and you can too. Yeah, our job is to fill our heart with the Word of God and control our tongue. Control our tongue. Amen. Go to one more place. John chapter 14. And we'll stop with this one. John chapter 14. Verse 12. Can you agree with me that we should put a lot of emphasis on what Jesus said? His words carry a lot of weight. But people tend to think otherwise. A lot of Christians tend to think otherwise. Here's what Jesus said right here. John chapter 14, verse 12, says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Now, Jesus said that. That's not some wild-eyed cowboy preacher. That's not something I came up with last night. That is Jesus. There is no doctrinal denomination that can rub that away. There's no theologian can explain that away. Jesus said that. Jesus said that. That's the absolute truth. He said, you can do the things that he did, an even greater thing. Why am I spending so much time on this? Because we have to identify with him. See, we've been called to go out there and do things in the community like he would have us to do. You know, go pray for people, cast out devils, pray in tongues, get people born again, do the things of the gospel, do the gospel work. If we don't understand who we are, we won't believe it. And if we don't understand what he's done to us, if we don't know it, we won't believe it. And if we don't believe it, we won't be able to operate in it. Amen? It's not me. It's him. Jesus said that too. He said, it's the Father in me. He does the works. We're in the same spot. It's the Father in us. He does the works. The greater one's on the inside of you. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Thank you, Father, for your words. We thank you for your Bible. And we thank you for the cross and the shed blood and everything that Jesus accomplished for us in his death, burial, and resurrection. We honor the blood of Jesus. We thank you for that blood. We thank you for that resurrection. We thank you for everything that it has done for us. Father, we praise you in the name of Jesus. And we thank you that as we take your word in our hearts, that seed is going to take root. It's going to produce fruit for you in your kingdom. Some hundredfold, some 30-fold, some 60-fold return on your word. We praise you for this in Jesus' name. We thank you for going with us because you said you would never leave us nor forsake us. So everywhere we go, we know that you are right there with us. We praise you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, we have cupcakes and coffee and fellowship back here. Everybody is welcome to come back and have some.